So welcome back to Lauren Taylor Podcast. My name is Lauren Taylor, and it is early this morning, and I'm so pumped for today's show because I have one of the most amazing women on the show today. Her name is Tanner Hobbs. She is 26 years old, wife, daughter, business owner, sister, health coach. She's just doing it all. She's the owner of Chasing Freedom, and she works to lead women to experience a level of health that only Jesus could provide, which, oh my God, I love so much. And her magic just radiates over all socials and online and in person. And I'm just excited to hang out with her today and just pick her brain on everything. So let's dive in. We dance, we sing, we live, we love tonight.
Heck yeah. I'm so excited to be on and just chat with you and have this conversation. Anytime I get to talk about my business and just be asked questions, I feel like I fall in love more with what I do. So it's awesome to have these conversations.
Oh my God. Yes. I am so, so pumped. Okay. So I want to just get right started. I would love for you to talk us through your new project coming up, which is My Freedom Method Mentorship, which, oh my God, the name itself just like radiates off the page. So definitely let us know all the good stuff about it.
Yeah. So I have the Freedom Method Mentorship coming up, and honestly, this has been in the works for 2 years, probably. I've been walking women through it one-on-one for the past year since I started the first year, just like really listening in on what do women actually need. And the way that I am a health coach, first of all, and the way that I approach health coaching is pretty unconventional in the world today, in the sense that like, there is no like plan, there is no program, there is no like, this is going to work for you. I'm 100% sure if you follow this to a T, it is going to work for you. And so in heading in that direction, because I have this whole story where basically I got super obsessed. My identity was in my body. My identity was in men. But at the same time, I was figuring out that I had this huge passion for health, but I was trying to figure out what does that actually look like long-term instead of like just always trying to get smaller in my body. And like, there's a big long story to that. So, in working with women and through sharing my story and just kind of opening up to women about the journey that I was going through, because even when I first started health coaching, I was still like trying to figure it out. Like I was certified and everything, but still in my own body and in my own self, I was what I thought was freedom when I found Jesus, like it was not freedom. And so the Freedom Method Mentorship, basically it's a 24-week walk through life together. It's helping hungry women get healthy and just seek the heart of Jesus at the same time. What I realized in our journeys is that either like we're so health, like physically health focused, or we are like women who are pursuing Christ can just like full on pursue Christ and almost leave out like our physical bodies from it. The church doesn't talk about our physical health a lot. Like people were struggling bringing those two things together. And what I realized is like the freedom that women are actually looking for in their bodies and in that journey that they're in actually is found at the cross. And so basically the Freedom Method is we walk through life together for 24 weeks. And I have this course that you work through at your own pace. Each week you're leaked new content on food freedom and then also on a spiritual mentorship topic. And then we have accountability and group Zoom calls and all that kind of stuff to actually be coached in the moment, get your questions answered, have accountability to actually do what you say you're going to do. I think women, we have these commitment issues, not just like in relationships, but definitely with what we're committing to with our own health and with our own spiritual maturity and all of that, because a lot of times we feel selfish. Like you feel selfish to put so much time and effort into this quiet time with God or this, your body and your physical health. And you're like, oh my gosh, I need to be out helping people. And you forget like you to be the healthiest version of yourself is to help people better. And so, yeah, the Freedom at the Mentorship, we walk through all of that. And my approach, the reason why it's 6 months long is because I want women to embrace the process of getting healthy. And I don't want my clients, like, I'm not looking for, like, a lot of businesses, they live off retention, but my business doesn't live off retention. I don't want women coming back to me in a year saying, Tanner, I crushed it with you. That was such a good time. I've lost everything. I need you again. I want to push women to know that they have Christ, that the freedom is there, and that that never leaves them. Even when I'm gone, the mentor is gone, they have the leader that they need for eternity. And I think that's the, like, difference in the approach is I always say I'm an eternal health coach. I'm not just, like, a personal trainer or something like that. And it's a it's an interesting dynamic. It's not for everyone. Women have to be ready to take this on. Not that it's like takes up a ton of your time and you have to change your whole life. I always say, like, the Freedom Method is it takes off of your plate completely. Like, stress, anxiety, fear, frustration, lack of confidence or insecurity. We're removing stuff off of your plate. So you actually have more space in your life than you've ever had. And you're not living so overwhelmed and feeling like you're not doing enough and feeling like you're a failure in your body and, like, you can't be comfortable with your husband or your boyfriend or whatever. So, yeah, it's like this big brooch, but really the at the core of it, it is pretty dang simple. We're women who are really seeking Christ wholeheartedly and then letting, like, the letting me teach you the tools and the tips to just create healthier habits along the way when it comes to your physical health as far as nourishing your body and moving your body and that kind of stuff. So it's super incredible when women have these breakthroughs where it's like, it's clicking and I'm not thinking about my body so much anymore and food's not consuming me anymore. In fact, like, I'm thinking about other people in the way that I feel like I should. I'm more present. I'm more there. Like, my life feels more intentional, and it's just the coolest freedom journey ever, honestly.
Wow. Oh my gosh. It's so encouraging to hear that you're doing this for women. And I love that you, the perspective that you have on it and the way that you're going about it, because I do think that that is just, that's everlasting, right? Where you're with this mentorship for women and, like, you're really teaching them to also just to build stronger muscles, not just for themselves, but also for their faith, which is incredible. What made you want to begin your podcast, which is also incredible?
So the podcast actually came from this void I was feeling in, like, actually getting content out to where women could consume it. You know, when I was listening to podcasts, I found someone who I'm like, oh my gosh, I connect with this. And then I would listen and listen and listen and listen. And, like, it became a part of my weekly routine. And people's podcasts really genuinely, I would say, impact my life in really mighty ways. Like, when you can get that good stuff into your ears versus, like, other things that you can consume so easily, it's impactful. It's fruitful on your life. And I wanted to be a part of that. And I knew, like, my Instagram stories and all of that were a way to get in front of women daily and stuff. But I just thought that having that podcast would be, one, a free way to give the content that I love to give, to help women tackle the hard things, to talk about the topics that people aren't talking about, like sex before marriage and dealing with that. Like, my whole testimony basically is, like, let me share the hardships I've been through and have walked through. And I'm honestly still sometimes dealing with the consequences of it. And let's just, like, tackle these things. And then also at the same time, again, there's not a lot of places where people feel comfortable enough. And this took a lot of inner work for me to bring their faith into the health industry and to actually pull those together so that women can stop separating those two things. Because I always say, like, our spiritual health is the container for all of our health, our mental, physical, emotional, all of that. And so having a place that I could try my best to explain that well. And then to just, like, share the gospel. So one of my life mottos is wherever I go, so goes the gospel. So, I want to speak. My big dream is to just be speaking more often and traveling around, speaking places that people aren't really speaking about this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I don't know where to start or how to do that, but a podcast feels like a really good spot to start practicing speaking. Mm-hmm. And so that was another reason too. And honestly, I'm one of those people that, like, if I tell someone, I just have to tell someone I'm going to do it and then I'll figure it out. Like,
yeah.
I had no clue how to start that podcast, but I told people were saying, you should have a podcast too. And I'm like, okay, I'll do a podcast. I'll launch it in this month. And I'm like, I got to do a podcast. Like, I promise people this.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So,
I think that's so brilliant. And what do you tell yourself in staying committed to your work? I know that you previously mentioned before that you can have commitment issues, which I know I do. And it shows up in, like, different things, whether it's, you know, even within my clothes. Like, I'm always cleaning out my closet because I don't want to, you know,
have
anything or, you know, just different things like that. So what do you tell yourself to, like, coach yourself to staying committed to your work?
Oh, man. I am procrastination station. Like, a lot of people, I feel like they, from seeing my work, they'd be like, really? You don't come across that way. But of course, I'm not going to sit there every day and be like, I barely got this done for you guys.
Right.
But honestly, that is the truth. I do procrastinate work. I want to work on things that I want to work on and that I love to work on. Obviously, when you're a business owner, you wear a lot of different hats in the beginning. And I try to outsource things that, honestly, I'm either A, just not good at, or B, I keep pushing off and then it causes me to be stressed in my life. So that is one thing that I'm learning is outsourcing is beautiful because it gives you more space to live in your genius zone and actually do the things that you do well. But at the same time, I mean, I have to keep things organized as far as, like, there are a couple of different systems that I use. I'm a written planner type of gal. I try not to make big lists. Like, I'll never have a list of 20 things for the day. That's so unrealistic. It's only going to stress me out because I'm going to keep, like, pushing things off. So I always do this thing. It's like, this is the big three. The big three are the things that absolutely have to be done today in order to feel productive. And those things are priority. So before I'm in my DMs or before I'm, like, doing X, Y, and Z or creating the next thing, those three things have to get done in order for me to move on into the next thing. And honestly, when I knock those first three things off, I'm like, that's the only way to do it because it starts productivity momentum. And once you start the momentum, you're just like, now I can do all the things because my plate feels clean. I feel like I have space to do so. And that works really well for me.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's so good. Do you have any tips for podcast growth? And can you talk us through that entire experience?
Yeah. So podcast growth, and actually I'm constantly researching and trying to learn from people on podcast growth and in general. I do feel like my podcast has done really well in terms of, like, podcast loyalty. And it's constantly growing, but there's a couple, I could sit here and talk about this all day long. One is don't just use one space to grow your podcast. So I'm growing my podcast behind the scenes on Pinterest a lot and really utilizing Pinterest to push the podcast, which you could talk about Pinterest and how to do that well. You can't just, like, pin and hope that your pins get found. And that's what I'm learning right now is, like, the description matters, the tags that you use matters, the boards have to be relatable that you put the pins on. Like, the actual pin images themselves have to have some sort of, like, they got to pop. The words got to pop. They have to be searchable words, like, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's that. Constantly talking about my podcast, asking people to review it, asking people to share it. Every episode you hear me, like, tell people to literally share this. I'm like, you guys are the voice for this podcast. If I just one person is sharing it, this thing will grow at turtle pace, which is fine. But I'm trying to get people to chase freedom in their life. I take that really seriously. And so the only way to get people to do that is to ask people to share, which I've been, like, super comfortable with. I just messaged 10 girls yesterday. I'm like, hey, like, good friends. Hey, have you left a review on my podcast? Pretty sure I've not seen one from you. So can you go do that? That would be awesome. And just, like, tell people why too. Don't just be like, do this for me. tell them why it's also going to help them, because I know if my podcast is growing, I can make the podcast better for people. I can invest in people to help me. And as the podcast grows, I can get people on who, if it was just this newbie podcast, probably wouldn't be able to say yes, like just really cool things. So asking, and then honestly, like the titles of your podcast episodes, all of these things matter. And there's so many ways to grow it, but not trying to do 10 of the things at once, but focusing and doing maybe two or three podcast growth strategies really well for a couple of months, see how that works for you, take the temperature of it, and then come back to it and be like, okay, let's switch it up. This doesn't seem to be working for me, even though it worked for her, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh my gosh. So I think this also goes back to what you were saying earlier about, I think creatives wear so many different hats because we become researchers, you know, or our own hype women and like all the different things just to really, you know, experience success, which is incredible. So what has been your favorite part about helping women reach their potential?
Oh gosh. My favorite part is probably when they have, I'll call them like God moments or like Jesus moments. I love when I hear women say something like, whoa, I just realized that I don't do this now. And instead I'm like, I see truth in this, or I see that this just took time, or I see that what God promised me is actually true. Because a lot of people are like, I don't have these like huge, massive God moments that these people are talking about. I don't hear God's voice like people are talking about. And it's like, it's not loud. Like it's a small, still whisper. When you get still, you're able to hear it. When you slow down your pace of grace and you fill your life with more grace and obedience and discipline, you hear that. You slow down, you walk with Jesus. It doesn't say Jesus sprints to the next thing. Like it always says, and Jesus walked. Like he wasn't running. His pace was slow. He was really intentional. Like, and when I see women, like even if they don't know that they're living more like Jesus yet, but I see it and I know it, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, this is why I get up every single morning and do this, even when I don't know what the heck I'm about to do this day, or I don't know, like, if this is good work anymore, if this feels monotonous to me at this point, which, like, that is so me. I always struggled with, what am I going to do with my life? I can never do the same thing every single day. Like, I can't be the desk girl. Like, I can't go into work, do the same thing every day. And that's my biggest struggle, is like, monotonous is my biggest fear. I never want to be stuck, you know? And my job is so like, I feel like God definitely allowed me to have this job because it's not like that. And I'm able to like seek different things. And yeah, but that's probably my favorite, is when people do have those little glimpses of God where they're like, and I'm going to keep going.
Yes. One of my biggest fears was being in a cubicle. I was like, I could never, ever, ever do that. So I can resonate with that very much.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. My biggest fear is not being close to a window where I can see the outdoors. Like, no, no. And if you do that, like, praise you for having the patience to sit there and do that work. Cause some people can, like, there are introverted people who can just sit and do, and like, I would not have any hair in my head.
And you know, so how did you discover your platform was empowering other women, and what did that look like?
So when I first started my business, August 2017, I didn't invite like spiritual growth or faith into it much at all. I was like an online personal trainer and nutrition coach. And when I would share things about faith or my husband or anything, I would lose people. I'd lose followers. So it just like built this wall up. Like, well, maybe your faith is meant to be kept quiet, Tanner, and you just need to focus in on your profession, which is health. And then like February came and I was feeling so convicted. Like, don't put God in a box. That is not the God that you serve. And I went all in. I was like, that's where Chasing Freedom started, the name of my company. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be so unapologetic about this, because I can't continue to coach women on their health and not talk about Jesus. That feels impossible because it is such a huge part of my story and finding freedom from body image struggles and food and all this stuff. So when I completely surrendered the fear of failing, the fear of losing everyone, the fear of not getting clients anymore, that's when I knew that, like, I was on a mission, that there was a much bigger, there's a much bigger reason that I'm doing what I do that's far beyond me and what I'm capable or what I'm qualified enough to do. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, like, my, that's where my business started. I always say, like, my business actually started when I let Jesus be, or when I let him be the CEO and I just managed it well.
Wow.
And the conversations for my work look different every single day. Like, it wasn't like, okay, Tanner, what do you got to do next? It's more like, all right, God, what do you need me to do today? How do you need me to speak? How do you need me to show up? Or where do you actually need me to just show up, you know, because I feel this, like, pressure that I have to. And that changed everything. And that's where I knew that, like, my work was more, it was more of a mission for the kingdom than in this world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so impactful. Yeah. Have you ever received judgment for your faith or judgment for what you do? And if you did, how did you handle that?
Yeah, really good question again. So I'll be really honest. I know a lot of people that openly talk about Christ that do get a lot of criticism and judgment and stuff. And I'm not saying I never do. I definitely do, but it's not harsh where it, like, sparks this huge fire and I wonder if what I'm doing is right. Like, I feel like God has really protected my spirit in that way and what I do. And I always tell him, like, I'm prepared for the day when this happens. I realize that following you and speaking your name puts me in a position, a very vulnerable position, to receive anything that Jesus received, which was a lot of hate, a lot of, like, I know that that could come at any time. Mm-hmm. I will say, like, I don't know. I feel like my spirit right now is protected. Maybe it's because God knows I'm not mature enough to handle that spiritually yet. Mm-hmm. And he's in charge of that. Or I hope and I pray that women who don't believe that follow me never feel judged for not believing in what I believe in. Mm. Just the way that I am able to talk about it. Sometimes I feel like when you try to beat around the bush and not say things that hurt people, you end up hurting people. But when you're just so you and you just talk about what you believe in and you share things without, like, fear, and instead you just have faith in the words that you say, mm-hmm. you kind of, like, you don't run into as much hate. You know, because I'm not trying to please people anymore, which was, like, the biggest thing that I've worked through. I'm trying to please my Father through my work. And if people get angry, like, I just have to accept that that's okay. When you are a Christian, you are an outcast. I know I'm different. I know what I believe is not what a lot of people believe. And hopefully, like, the words that they hear me say, non-believers that follow me eventually, like, it's doing work in their heart and they don't even know it yet.
Yes. And I think that you touched on something so great that you are also making sure that the women who may believe something different or whatever the case may be are not feeling judged. I went to a all private Christian school, and that was one thing that I always wanted to keep with me with my faith, is that making sure that people feel still loved and inclusive and everything like that. Cause I think it's just so important, especially in like our society right now, which is there's so much stuff going on in the world. Right. So, and people really, you know, alone. So I think that's amazing. And I think that just sticking in your own truth and not being afraid to be yourself is just a really catapult and an example to what I hope, you know, other women are trying to achieve as well, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Of course. So what has been, like, the best advice that you have ever received thus far?
Oh, gosh. I've actually been this question, or I've had this question.
Yeah.
Asked to me before, and I always say, like, I have I think what I answered before was all you can do is all you can do. I think when we're hunting so much, especially a mom or, I don't know, different seasons, if you're like, you're newly married, like you're constantly have these expectations of yourself that for me puts that makes me think about myself a lot. I think about what's wrong with me. I think about what I'm doing, if it's good enough. I think about what people think about me, like that kind of stuff. And it can make your life become super self-focused. Mm-hmm. And so I always like tell people when they're stressed out about what they are, their to-do list, or, you know, not getting enough things done around the house because they have X, Y, and Z going on in this season of life. I'm like, I always tell people, all you can do is all you can do, which sometimes I have to tell myself that too. If you're not just choosing not to do all of these things because you're like, I'm just going to watch Netflix and just chill on the couch and not do, I'm just going to avoid all of these things. And if that's the case, like that's a different conversation. But if you're actually showing up and just doing the best that you can do with all that you have to do, that is all you actually can do. We all only have so much energy capacity. We all only have so many hours in a day, and life is too short to feel like you have to like complete checklist all the time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's like, I know that's not like super powerful, like biblical wisdom, but at the same time, I feel like it is, because faith too isn't about what you do, it's what you believe in. And if you believe that you're just showing up and doing your best, and that's literally all you can do, so just trust that that is enough, actually, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, yes, totally. I feel like that needs to be on a t-shirt somewhere with some praise hands and
I'd buy it.
Right, same. So all in all, you know, with everything that you're doing and your dreams and your goals and everything like that, mm-hmm. where, and I know that, and obviously, and the same goes for me, so, you know, my faith is really the spark plug for my inspiration and everything like that, but where else do you find motivation and inspiration to keep going?
Yeah, this is something I've had to be really careful about, because again, like, people can inspire you so much. And I know that, like, there are times that I inspire people because I do lead people. I do mentor people and stuff. And like you said, like, at the end of it, like, when we need more, when we need filled up, we go to Jesus. Like, we go to the Word, we go to those things. But, like, with my business and what I'm doing, of course I get inspiration from other people and learn from other people. Honestly, I love to just talk about my inner circle, just like a good friend. I think a lot of times I get affirmation in what I'm doing from talking about it with my friends, or like when I'm going through really hard seasons in life but I still have a business to run, sharing those struggles and making sure that I'm getting people around me to pray on the struggles so that I can show up. Like, I have people there for me when I need them, and I'm not doing these things alone, and I'm actually sharing, like, these are my biggest fears right now in this season that I'm going through, or this is what I'm working through. Also, if I want to balance there, we're not consuming too much of, like, people's advice and all that kind of stuff, but it is smart to, like, seek wisdom and seek knowledge, people who have done things far longer than you, or have been, quote, more successful, you're going to be successful at. And yeah, just making sure you have a really tight inner circle, which for years, that was my biggest struggle, was friendships. I always felt like my friendships are so surface, And I was just like camouflage, you know, it's just like, okay. And that got me in a lot of trouble. It wasn't good, but, I have a really good inner circle right now. You know, we are getting really involved with our church. We just moved and stuff. So doing things outside of work too, that are still quote work for the kingdom, but aren't considered like chasing freedom. My business work really, really cool ways.
Oh my gosh. So good. I love that. Well, thank you so much for just sharing everything that you're doing, sharing your heart. And I really hope that everyone who's listening, is inspired and motivated and checks you out. And where can people find you?
Yeah. So at Trainer Tanner on Instagram, that's kind of where I show up. Most consistent.com, and then the Chasing Freedom Show is my podcast.
Amazing. Okay, guys, we'll definitely go check out Tanner. She's incredible and amazing, as you heard. And thank you so much again for joining.
Thanks, Lauren. I appreciate you.